and a warm welcome to Celebrating Success. Thank you for joining me. I'm Pauline Barclay, author of 9 published books. My passion to write about events that happen in life and change everything for those involved, as well as those caught up in the maelstrom. I want my characters to sit at your side, steal your attention, and sweep you up into their story. Stories that will bring tears to your eyes, have you laughing out loud, and sometimes what they share with you will stay in your heart for a long time. You can read my books in Kindle or paperback, and they're all available from Amazon. When not writing, I talk to amazing and fabby peeps. Today, I'm delighted to be talking to Michael Duffy. Michael scooped a hat-trick of awards last month for his black humour book, Gaving and the Body Snatchers. So please sit back and enjoy meeting my lovely guest. Hi, Michael. Lovely to meet you. And I know you're an award-winning author because you've just received an award for Gaving and the Body Snatchers. But hi, Pauline. I know you have another book as well.
Yeah, I have indeed. Nice to meet you after exchanging lots of emails. And I was delighted with the Chill Out With A Book award that I got last month, which was, in fact, 3 things, wasn't it? I got a Premier Award, and then I got Book of the Month. And then thanks to my son, who designed my cover, I got Cover of the Month. So that was a nice hat trick. At the time, I was lucky enough to be in a holiday we've been planning for years, but got cancelled by COVID. I was in the Maldives and lying on a beach. So we celebrate.
Well, envious now.
So we celebrate. Well, it doesn't happen very often. It's about 10 years since I've been on a long haul holiday. So I don't suppose I'll be going on another one very soon. But I was actually lying on a beach and I just checked my iPad and these awards came in. And so we celebrated with a cocktail. And that's probably, you know, very exotic for Chill Out With A Book Awards. They were in the Maldives being celebrated with cocktails. And there you go. Yeah,
well, I hope you raised your glass to Gavin and the Body Snatchers.
I did. Well, you couldn't get a different setting to the Maldives and where Gavin and the Body Snatchers is set, which is in a very dreary and run-down town called Drabbleton in Lancashire, England, where it always rains because, according to the narrator, the town deserves to be rained on. So very different to the Maldives. And
But let's tell the readers, the listeners, as well as the readers, that Gaving and the Body Snatchers is really black humour. But it's a good story and it's believable. But at the same time, it does make you smile at some of the things they get up to.
Yeah. I wrote it during lockdown, and one of the reasons I actually published it independently was I was reading about people that had submitted to agents and publishers at the time, and they were totally inundated with all these people who were like locked away and all of a sudden decided there was a book in them. So I know it's hard enough to get published at any time, and I thought, well, to be honest, you know, I'd rather it get out and get a few readers than wait for 3 or 4 years and have like 100 rejection slips in the meantime. So I decided to do it for that reason. One of the things that I did as a kind of writing challenge, a creative challenge to myself, was I noticed that when I was doing research, you know, what might make a good seller. Obviously, crime novels sell very well, but I'm sort of known as sort of having quite a good sense of humour amongst my friends and family and all the rest of it, and things I've written, and I write some funny songs as well and things like that. So I thought, you know, I'd be daft not to try and introduce comedy to it. But it's quite hard putting comedy into crime, as you can imagine, because you have scenes which could be as serious as a murder. But how, you know, if somebody cracks a joke during a murder, does that really work? And it made me really think, should I really be doing this? Because surely it's not going to work. But when I
yeah, but your
started,
characters, I think your characters were, you had such wonderful rounded characters that they were all slightly different. So when things really went, got quite nasty, there was the right character balance to bring the lightness to the story.
Yeah, I think so. It's one of those things that, I mean, since I've written Gavin, I've tried another couple of things that haven't worked and I ditched them. And I would say the difference is sometimes as a writer, as you'll know, Pauline, with all the work you've written, is that sometimes you just get on a roll with characters, don't you? And you feel unstoppable. And other times you feel like you're pushing uphill and, you know, you're trying to get to your next plot objective, you know, and your next turning point in the novel. And you're thinking, you know, this is a slog. And that's what I've thought with these last two sort of aborted manuscripts I've done. But for some reason, you know, all the magic dust appeared when I was doing Gavin, and I just felt that I was unstoppable, you know. And, you know, when you get on as a writer yourself, sometimes you get on a roll, don't you? You can't stop yourself, and you just don't, you know, you don't have a drink for hours, and you don't go to the loo or anything because you're just so obsessed with getting to the next point. And it was just, you just get, and when you've, and that's when I felt that I must, at my level, I was writing what was going to be a good book, because I was just totally gripped with it myself, and I've not been able to replicate that since, sadly. But I think the reason I was able to get the humour in it, it was just because they are quite oddball characters, and they just acted as themselves in these peculiar and perilous situations. And the
but
fact
there were
that
people I thought of several characters on the television I could have related, because I read the book, could have related to as well. And but it was what I loved about it. It was very serious. And they were all very serious about what they wanted to do, and very angry as well at some points. But at the same time, they had this way of talking to each other and behaving that you couldn't help but smile. And I could imagine it being like a TV series, like some of them we've seen in the past, and it would make a brilliant one.
I think. Well, I'm hoping I can actually. I'm trying to do a bit of research at the minute to try and actually pitch it for that. Because of the reviews that I have had for the book, and I've had some quite good ones, it's been mentioned quite often, and people also in private emails to me saying this would make a good, great TV series. So I just think it has got that those sorts of characters that people can relate to, and it seems to have gone down particularly well in the north.
I can imagine as well. Yeah,
You know, it's sort of like it's a bit harsh, the humour at times.
It's got quite a lot of northern humour in there as well.
Yeah,
you can relate. And, myself from Yorkshire, I can relate to some of it as well.
Yeah. So that's been smashing, and I was pestered on Twitter over the weekend when I was doing a follow up to it. You know, so. I've already got an idea for a follow-up. What happens to the ice cream factory, and they all end up in Mexico in the follow-up book, fighting a Mexican drug cartel. Which, if you can get from Lancashire to Mexico somehow, that's a leap of faith. But that's what I'd want to do. But my current thing that I'm trying to get to grips with, and it's not coming off so well, but I've got an idea about a bunch of unfit no-hopers who are retired, who decide to form a walking football team to impress their other halves and try and regain some pride. And but then they get accidentally involved in a very serious crime. And
but that's an under theme in your book as well, with Gavin and the body snatchers. There was crime there in the book, quite serious. And they, again, this is why I could see it on the TV, that you could see them weaving their way through it and trying to sort it as well.
It's funny sometimes, you know, when the way a book comes together, because I'm not an extremely planned plotter. I sort of, because I get bored if I do it that way. So I kind of like sketch it out and have like milestones I'm trying to get to. But just through my life at work as well. You know, everybody used to say I was really good at building on existing ideas that some other team members had. And I find I do that with my own work, that some of the stuff that comes in, I hadn't thought about in the first place. So in Gavin, for example, I knew Gavin would have to try and get his act together by having some sort of income source. But I never thought in the first place that it'd be an ice cream van. But an ice cream van was great because if you're going to get chased by villains, what else would be funnier than being chased by high-powered SUV Mercedes vehicles, in pursuit of an ice cream van, but that sort of thing comes later.
But do you
Similarly
find
with
that
the
your
crime.
characters talk to you as well? Do you find your characters talk to you and tell you which route they want to go as well?
In a way, I do. I sort of I have a funny thing, I could have my lunch and then I'll go and go to my little spot where I write, and then I can and then I actually say out loud, "Gavin Hargreaves, you're on," and actually call him and sort of see what he can do. It is one of those things when you first start writing, because as I say, I've written another couple of things that haven't quite worked. And it's because I've just not really felt that the characters had come alive. And that is that thing, isn't it, that you're saying.
You know that though, don't you?
Sometimes you think, right, I hardly need to do this because I just know what they would do in this situation. You've got to know what challenges you're going to throw at them. I was watching on the One Show Stephen Merchant about talking about Outlaws, which is another gang, Motley Gang, isn't it? The series, and he said they've got another series of that coming. And he said what you need to do with your characters is put them up a tree to get away from danger, and then throw things at them. So it's so, giving them peril all the time that they've got to get over. Once you've got the rounded characters that you kind of fall in love with yourself, you're the person that's coming up with these things that you're going to throw at them, but you almost know how they'll react. And if they're going to react in a way that you think is going to be entertaining, because that's all my books are really about, then you feel you're on a winner. So I'm just hoping I can replicate that with my next manuscript, where I feel like the characters have come alive to the extent that they can almost write themselves, and
Brilliant.
it's easier that way,
No, it is easy, hence why I do. I'm now writing my third Cozy Mystery because it's the same characters. But going back to your books, you've written a book back in 2013 and set in
Yes.
Liverpool, and it's to do with the Beatles, did you say it was called?
Well, it's called The Sixth Beatle, and which is just about a kid who's extraordinarily gifted at music. And so, because it's set in the 1970s, his dad christens this kid the Sixth Beatle, because there was this legendary who would be the Sixth Beatle. There was the Fifth Beatle, who was their manager, Brian Epstein, or a drummer. But, who would be, if there was a Sixth Beatle, who would be that musical genius? But it's set in Liverpool, and but it's very different to Gavin in that there is some, if you look at sometimes like Shakespearean tragedies where they've got a comic relief in it, it's definitely got some funny scenes and some set pieces that are comic, but it's a tragic book. But it's about it calls on the music and football and just the mad culture of Liverpool. But it's actually a psychological thriller, really. It's about somebody that's very guilty about something that's happened to his family that he has made happen. And his solution is that he's going to write this brilliant piece of music that's so good that it can cure ills. And so but there's lots of twists in it, and I can't really tell you that because of spoiling. But
So
at the time, sorry, yeah, at the
no,
time.
I'm just going to say for the listeners to look out for your two books at the moment. One is called Gavin and the Body
Body
Snatchers,
Snatchers.
and this Beetle one
It's
is
called The Sixth Beetle.
The Sixth Beetle. And are
Yeah,
both books available
they're
in
both.
Kindle and paperback, Michael?
Yeah, they are, yeah. In fact, I think I've got them both on Kindle Unlimited at the moment, so you can read them for nothing.
If you
And
subscribe, of
if
course.
you
And
subscribe,
do you have
yeah.
a
But
website, Michael?
no, I don't have a website. I'm on Twitter, which is Michael Duffy 001. But I don't have a website. I did have a website once for Six Beetle, but I got once I'd stopped selling copies of it, I took it down. But it was quite a pain in that in Six Beetle, with it being a music theme, there's about 50 songs mentioned through it, and so I had this great idea that I'd have this like jukebox website with all the songs on. But the internet being as it is, all the links kept dropping off. So I was like getting really frustrated that I was having to go through the links all the time to see if they were broken. Then I actually subscribed to this thing that reported broken links to you. And then I realized I was up against an impossible task maintaining it. So I took it down. But I really like Six Beetle. But at the time, I was trying to get it published, and publishers liked it, but they didn't think it was commercial enough, basically. So when I came to write Gavin all those years later, sorry, that so that's why I self-published that one. And when I came to write Gavin, it was during COVID times and lockdown. And when I came to think about pitching it to agents and publishers, I just read that there was just so many people that had been locked away in during lockdown and had decided to write a book. So there was the slush piles, the so-called slush piles, were even slushier than usual. And I just thought, the chances of, getting it out would be low. And I thought, well, I'll put it out and see if I can get some positive vibes going about it, and use that as a springboard possibly to be able to approach publishers in the future about other manuscripts that I've got in the pipeline. And Gavin and the Body Snatchers could be a series. I've got a few ideas of how I could use those characters, but I didn't think of it as a series at the time. And it's just as you when you start reading more about the publishing industry, because I'm not from it, you start to realize that a lot of publishers are looking for books that can be series, aren't they? So that you get people into book one, and then they want another book. And as I was mentioning, I was pestered over the weekend on Twitter, to do a follow-up for Gavin, so you can see, and even though it's only had a few readers, a lot of the people that have read it would like to see another one, and so I could see that I could do that, but I'm
Yeah,
trying to come
I
up.
can understand that from the character. I mean, they're very rounded characters and very real characters. And I could see them involved in something else again.
So yeah, I mean, as I say, they may end up in Mexico eventually, but one of the things, because it wasn't thought of as a series in the first place, the character that I'm most fond of in the book is the sort of quirky pensioner called Bob, who's this little guy who's who gets up to all sorts of mischief in there, including serious explosives. And there's a sort of like a subplot with him, as about his lifelong love affair with his former wife, Mavis, but this is a spoiler. Turn it off now if you don't want to hear
No,
it.
we
But
don't want any spoilers because
okay then.
we want
But
the listeners to take a look at
okay.
your fantastic
Okay.
book. Well, Michael, it's been
Okay.
absolute delight talking to you, and
Thank you.
it's great, and I'm so pleased that you've got the award from Chill Award. Your book deserved
Yes.
it, and
Lovely.
we're looking forward to hearing more about what's going to happen to this motley crew of yours, to see where they're going next, and are they going to be in Mexico? We hope so.
They are, and if they actually make me some money along the way, I'll love them even more. It'd be great, wouldn't it?
I think as authors, we all wish that. So what I'm going to say, Michael, is bye and thank you for coming to join me on the podcast.
Oh, thanks, Pauline. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks for joining me. And it was great to see you and talk to you. Listeners, I hoped you also enjoyed meeting Michael as much as I did. As you heard in the podcast, Michael's books are available in Kindle and paperback from Amazon. He's also just told me he's a way to build a website. Good luck, Michael, and we look forward to seeing it. As always, a huge thank you for joining me, and I can't wait to share your company again very soon. And of course, you can listen to all my podcasts at paulinebarclay.podbean.com. As with all my podcasts, you are more than welcome to share them with your family and friends. I hope you will. And finally, don't forget you can find out more about me and my books on my website, paulinebarclay.co.uk. Until we meet again, I hope the sun will be shining on your face and in your heart. Take care. See you soon. Ta-ta for now.